Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, Joseph Hedgecock, many years ago. God said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing on the Good Confession. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 36 to 47. This is Acts, chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Verse 38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39, "For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Verse 40, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Verse 43, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." Verse 44, "And all that believed were together and had all things in common." Verse 45, "And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need." Verse 46, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." Verse 47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." The church started with a huge amount of conviction when the Jews on the day of Pentecost were confronted with the fact that they had crucified the Messiah. There were no doubts in the crowd of 3,000 people, and they were cut to the heart. Those who did receive Peter's message gladly were baptized immediately. Those following the apostles' teaching then began to meet in homes and the temple before the persecution started. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 16 to 33. This is Acts, chapter 5. I'm starting in verse 16. "And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed, every one." Verse 17, "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation." Verse 18, "And laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison." Verse 19, "But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said," verse 20, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." Verse 21, And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. Verse 22. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told. Verse 23. Saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Verse 24. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Verse 25. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Verse 26. Then when the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. Verse 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, verse 28, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Verse 31. Him hath God exalted him with his right hand to be a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Verse 32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Verse 33. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. The religious leaders wanted to stop the message spreading that they had crucified the Christ. God delivered those disciples from prison, and an angel commanded the apostles to keep preaching. Also, the new converts who were baptized began to share the good news that Jesus is the Messiah within their communities, and got a mixed response. When they made the same statement as Peter, that Jesus was the Christ, and that the Jewish leaders crucified him, this led to more persecution. Some believers lost houses and jobs and were eventually forced to leave Jerusalem. James said in James chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, this is James chapter 1, I'm starting in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. James asked the persecuted Jews to rejoice in their new circumstances. God was dealing with the Jewish nation and giving them more time to repent. James told them to be patient and believe that in the situation, everyone following Christ will be perfected and not lack by asking God everything. Jewish converts were scattered for making the good confession, but they were the ones God selected and used to carry the gospel to the Gentiles in neighboring countries. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 16, I'm reading 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Verse 16. Because it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Peter told the persecuted saints, God chose them to go through many trials, kept by the power of God, and their lives would be transformed for the sake of the gospel through holiness. He prayed for the grace and peace that they gained at salvation to be multiplied. And those who had a fresh testimony of trust in God with all their heart were ready to pay the price for following Christ. This ensured that the gospel spreading at the beginning was pure. In his first letter, Paul was concerned that the gospel continue to spread among the Gentiles in the same way. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading verses 1 to 10. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Verse 2. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Verse 4. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. Verse 5. Perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we carry nothing out. Verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The Jews scattered in many other countries, preaching the gospel, are only able to get work as servants, or take basic tasks to feed their families to start with. The scattered Jews endured the situation gracefully. Likewise, Paul expected the new converts in those countries that they were reaching not to serve money. Paul saw how the rich Gentiles could not handle temptation, losing their godly purpose, seeking the things of this world. As a result, Timothy was told not to improve his standard of living without learning contentment in his present circumstances. New converts needed a good example of how to handle the things of the world with the fear of the Lord. But the gospel to keep spreading, the following was important according to Paul. Number one, converts who were servants had to fully honor their own masters. Number two, those who had believing masters were to do the same and more. Number three, in sharing, everyone needed to avoid arguments and, if necessary, quote exactly what Jesus said. Number four, no one was to debate the meaning of words used in sound teaching if it reduced the amount of conviction. Number five, everyone was to withdraw from those teaching that earthly gain is the evidence of godliness, the prosperity gospel. Number six, be content with food and clothes. Servants were not to seek liberation from their earthly masters. Those who could support the gospel should do so in whatever way they were led to do so. John said in 3 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. This is 3rd epistle of John, chapter 1, starting in verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Verse 3. I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Verse 4. And have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. John rejoiced because of Gaius in the church who loved the truth. Those who walk in the truth do not just do what they want when they want. They prosper steadily by doing everything with the confirmation of the Holy Spirit. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. The word flee in Strong's is number 5343, apparently a primary verb to run away, literally or figuratively, by implication to shun, by analogy to vanish, escape or flee away. The words to follow after in Strong's is number 1377, a prolonged and causative form of a primary verb to flee. To compare with other words, it means to pursue, literally or figuratively, by implication, to persecute, ensue, follow after, given to, suffer, persecute, or press towards. Timothy had to flee what was creeping into the church through those trying to serve two masters. Paul did not want any evil taking root in Timothy through the love of money. The word pursue that Paul used was also the same word that described his former life when he was persecuting and going after innocent followers of Christ. Paul had done a complete U-turn from chasing after evil to chasing after the right things with the same tenacity and expected Timothy to do likewise. In the Living Bible, 1 Timothy 6:11 says, O Timothy, you are God's man. Run from all those evil things and work instead at what is right and good, learning to trust him and love others, and to be patient and gentle. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Timothy 6:11 says, "But as for you, O man of God, flee from all these things, aim at and pursue righteousness, right standing with God, and true goodness, godliness, which is the loving fear of God and being Christ-like, faith, love, steadfastness, patience, and the gentleness of heart." Timothy was told to chase after the following. Number one, righteousness, right standing with God by obeying the Spirit. Number two, godliness, which is the loving fear of God and being like Christ. Number three, faith, trusting God with all your heart. Number four, love, expressing love by seeking His specific commands. Number five, patience, giving others a chance to come to repentance. Number six, meekness, gentleness of heart. It is possible that Paul had seen these specific qualities in the early Jewish converts who were scattered as part of the persecution, bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. Use the list Paul gave to Timothy. Do not ignore your spiritual condition. Start by fleeing away from the attraction of what others have in this world obtained without asking God, because they were discontent at the time. Paul continued to speak to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading verse 12. "Fight the good fight of faith, and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses." In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in chapter 2, on Go Back to the Garden, on page 49, Joseph Hitchcock says, "If you believe you will never be able to live or grow up in the Spirit, it will happen for you exactly that way. I chose to believe that what God says without setting limitations or expectations, and you have been given the measure of faith to believe the same thing." You are not fighting the devil. You have to make sure that you keep your eyes on the Lord. With grace you can do anything. Paul also wrote this to the Jews in Jerusalem. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, this is Hebrews chapter 12, I'm reading verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in chapter 2, on Go Back to the Garden, on page 49, Joseph continues, "Examine what you believe. Do not believe anything unless the Lord confirms you should believe it. Regardless of how convinced you are that you are right, test your conclusion with the three infallible witnesses." See chapter 10 and the booklet, The Three Infallible Witnesses. Make sure God confirms what you believe as truth. Be sure you are right, then go ahead. You need to run your race well, but you cannot go any faster than your ability to hear God. Work on your communication system all the time. Lay hold on the gift of eternal life to walk in the truth, please God, and finish your race. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 1 to 3. This is John's Gospel, chapter 17, starting in verse 1. "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Everything you need comes through your personal relationship with the Lord. With the gift of eternal life, you get the privilege of asking God any question on any subject and can commune with Him on any issue. Those not asking God everything are in danger. We read in Proverbs chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. This is in Proverbs chapter 14, starting in verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. Verse 13, even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Verse 14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Those abiding in Christ are changing and content within themselves and pursue the things that God has shown them personally by the Spirit through conviction. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father, which is in heaven. For you to use your mind to make decisions, you have to get in the flesh and become Lord of your own life again. There is no excuse for making decisions with your mind. God's ways are higher than man's ways, so you cannot claim that you are seeking God's will by leaning to your own understanding. Jesus continued in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm starting verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Jesus said in the last days that many would do works of spiritualized flesh, deceiving themselves. You might realize today that you are just one of those people calling Jesus Lord and still on the wrong road. Examine yourself. Check that you started on the narrow way. If you'd never made the effort to get on the narrow way when you were born again, then you did not make a wrong turn anywhere and have been on the broad way ever since. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 13. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. The word straight in Strong's is number 4728, probably from the base of another word which means narrow, from obstacles standing close about, or straight. The word narrow in Strong's is number 2346, akin to the base of another word which means to crowd, literally or figuratively. Afflict, narrow, throng, or suffer tribulation or trouble. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Matthew 7, 13 to 14 says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and spacious and broad is the way that leads away to destruction. And many are those who are entering through it. But the gate is narrow, contracted by pressure, and the way is straitened and compressed that leads away to life. And few are those that find it. Many believe a lie that by saying an acceptable prayer to Jesus and receiving the Holy Spirit, they're following Jesus. This is not the truth. You have to learn to hear, trust, and obey to follow Christ. You can also start in the Spirit but end up in the flesh. Examine yourself to see if you're on the narrow way now. The devil has put his false prophets in the church in order to hinder anyone entering the kingdom of God, promoting earthly gain as a sign of godliness instead. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 19. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Verse 16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs or thistles? Verse 17, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. Verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Guard yourselves from a way that seems right by refusing to do anything in this world unless God authorizes you to do it by His Spirit. This is the way to live a godly life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 to 34. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and read verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. To seek His kingdom and righteousness, you'll need to hear His voice. Work on your communication skills with the Lord, as every day you will be exposed to a certain amount of evil. You should be ready for the unexpected as a soldier of Jesus Christ. As a soldier, you will also be in good shape, not asleep spiritually. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. This is 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'm reading verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8 says, for physical training is of some value, useful for a little, but godliness, spiritual training, is useful and of value in everything, in every way, for it holds promise for the present life and also for the life which is to come. Godliness is defined as spiritual training in the Amplified Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. Those who lack spiritual training only believe with their mind that Jesus is Lord. You're supposed to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 13 to 16. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm reading verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, which in His times He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Verse 16, who only have immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Paul charged Timothy to keep the faith that God could make a way where there is no way. Paul told him to keep making the good confession that Jesus is Lord wherever the situation arose and not fear human authority. He explained keeping the good confession was a commandment unto the reappearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wanted to see the salvation of his own nation, as God was extending grace again and again in the hope that the Jews still resisting would repent soon. He wanted his own people to hear the truth of the lordship of Jesus Christ, regardless of the endurance. Meanwhile, the church, seeking His perfect will and not His permissible will, was being transformed due to the persecution. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19, I'm reading all the way to verse 39. This is Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Verse 20. By a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Verse 21. And having an high priest over the house of God. Verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. Verse 27. But a certain fearful looking for a judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Verse 28. And he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Verse 29. Of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who had trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Verse 30. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongs unto me, I will recompense, says the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. Verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Verse 33. Partly whilst you were made a grazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. Verse 34. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Verse 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, his soul shall have no pleasure in him. Verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto the perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Because of the persecution, the Jews had to meet together in homes and learn a new and living way. The Jewish converts had to rely on the blood of Jesus to cleanse their sins and not go to synagogue. Going back to synagogue meant endangering the whole church flock meeting underground because of the persecution, and weakening the faith of others by following Jewish traditions again. New believers were lacking in patience, waiting for the situation to go back to where it was before the persecution started. Those who started well had many testimonies of the Holy Spirit directing them despite the afflictions. They shared their possessions gladly with Paul in the beginning and saw God provide supernaturally. Paul was conscious of the fact that the religious Jews who rejected Christ as Messiah and the new covenant were running out of time. There would not be anything left for them except the fearful expectation of wrath and indignation. Paul explained that the Jewish traditions were just a shadow of what was in heaven anyway. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 to 18. This is Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. Verse 3. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body has thou prepared me. Verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Verse 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Verse 8, above when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Verse 9, then said he, lo, I am come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Verse 13, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected for ever them that are sanctified. Verse 15, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before. Verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Verse 18, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Hebrews 10:15-18 says, and also the Holy Spirit adds his testimony to us in confirmation of this. For having said, this is the agreement, the testament, the covenant that I will set up and conclude with them after those days, says the Lord. I will imprint my laws upon their hearts, and I will inscribe them on their minds, on their inmost thoughts and understanding. He then goes on to say, and their sins and their law-breaking I will remember no more. Now where there is absolute remission, forgiveness and cancellation of the penalty of these sins and law-breaking, there is no longer any offering made to atone for sin. Only the terms of the new covenant include the fact that he will remember your sins no more. This promise is based on the fact that you let him write his laws on your hearts and minds. You let him exercise your senses by the Spirit, seeking the will of God despite any afflictions. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 3 to 6. I'm reading in the book of Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. By the indwelling Holy Spirit, anyone now can fulfill the law. The Holy Spirit can confirm that what you are going through is a fulfillment of certain Bible scriptures as you seek his perfect will. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 12. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith towards God. Verse 2, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Verse 3, and this we will do if God permit. Verse 4, for it's impossible for those who were once enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Verse 5, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Verse 6, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Verse 7. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bring forth herbs, meat for them, by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. Verse 8. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Verse 9. But, beloved, we are persuaded of better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister. Verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrine of Christ, the Messiah, advancing steadily towards the completeness and perfection that belongs to spiritual maturity. Let us not again be laying the foundation of repentance and abandonment of dead works, dead formalism, and of the faith by which you turn to God. Within the congregation in Jerusalem, there were a lot of new converts who wanted to go back to Jewish traditions and not rely on repentance from dead works and faith towards God by asking God everything. Paul described them as slow to learn. He reminded them not to be lazy, as God keeps records of what they had done all along. That was directed by obeying the Holy Spirit consistently, and that everything else was a dead work. Going back to the synagogue was in effect rejecting what Christ had done, setting them free from the law of sin and death, re-crucifying him again. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually in chapter 2, on Go Back to the Garden, on page 49, Joseph Hitchcock said, God requires that you trust him completely. This kind of faith will continuously move you to the next level. God looks at your heart rather than how mature you are. Do not set a standard that is impossible to reach from your natural mind. Simply trust God and obey the Lord where you are and expect to grow up in God's timing. He is not slack or slow concerning his promises. There are no set rules. Each person has been delivered from the law to obey the Spirit now. This is the same for a baby Christian and someone who's more mature. If you're not repenting of dead works, there is a danger you'll be left behind. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, 9 to 18. This is 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Verse 15. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 2, on Go Back to the Garden, on page 49, Joseph Edgecott said, you must continuously ask the Holy Spirit to show you what you need to do to grow spiritually. Be honest with God. Ask him where you are in your faith and find out the next thing he wants to teach you. Do not try to be where someone else is, but believe and obey what God says for you. Your path of growing up in the Spirit may be entirely different than mine. It may be shorter, it may be longer. You may face different obstacles and different hindrances than others do. But the same principles apply for every Christian. Simply stay humble before the Lord, acknowledge him, and do what he says because you love him. God's promises do not fade away, but they are based on seeking God's perfect will out of love. There's no condemnation if you're doing dead works, but you will not be forgiven if you do not confess your sins. How else will you know what works to confess if you're not open to conviction? You can repent of bad works a day in a church after you hear the good news. Your bad works are identified easily by bad fruit. But everyone has to repent of religious works too, that look very good. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 and 11. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm reading verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death. Verse 11. For behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. When you heard the good news, you should have repented of dead works, not just bad works. Make a list of the times you did something to fulfill the lusts of the flesh and seek to get to the root of sin with the help of the Holy Spirit. One lady I met in a meeting was convicted and wanted to trace her sin to the root. She asked for my help in the middle of a meeting. She asked if I could help her get to the root of her sin with the other lady still listening. As I began to speak about the reality of sin and imperfect motives, this lady was heavily convicted and cried openly. She begged me to continue, so the Lord did this through me. She was prepared to have her senses exercised in the process. Many bystanders were telling me, stop, but this lady begged me to continue, and to the lordship issue in her life was fully exposed. She repented deeply. This lady who repented deeply was the only lady still going on strongly with the Lord when the group dissolved just a few years later. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. This is in Hebrews chapter 5. I'm reading verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and it becomes such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. Verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Paul described the church in Jerusalem was left behind as childish. The gospel message spread to the Gentiles through the Jews scattered in the persecution with testimonies of God providing and directing them by his Spirit. The people listened as they talked about a personal relationship with God through the indwelling Holy Spirit. The believers God used for the gospel were more mature because they let God exercise their senses when they were going through many trials seeking the perfect will of God. Paul continued speaking to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Timothy 6, 17 to 19 says, as for the rich in this world, charge them not to be proud and arrogant and contemptuous of others, nor to set their hopes on uncertain riches, but on God, who richly and ceaselessly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Charge them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be liberal and generous of heart, ready to share with others. In this way, laying up for themselves the riches that endure forever as a good foundation for the future, so that they may grasp that which is life indeed. The rich had more hindrances to overcome in order to lay hold of eternal life. Holding on to anything in this world will cause you to lose your grip on eternal life. Jesus was speaking in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and verse 16. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Verse 17. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Verse 18. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. Verse 19. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Verse 21. So is he that lays up treasure for himself, and is not rich towards God. We came here for a purpose, and only God knows that purpose. We have to do everything his way, and not just build bigger barns because our business is doing well. God does not want your money. He wants you to trust him with all your heart. We read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 20. This is Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, I'm reading verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. The gospel came from Jerusalem was based on the apostles' teaching at the start. Some were reluctant to deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow Christ. God only uses those who are prepared, available, and willing. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 to 19. This is the book of Philippians, chapter 4, I'm reading verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Verse 18, but I have all and abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which ye were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Thessalonians were still struggling after they heard the gospel and could not help Paul financially because of their personal circumstances. However, God used the Philippians at that time. Paul never lacked, although he never knew how God would supply all his needs. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith brings out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be a people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. According to James, those lacking nothing spiritually had 1. Endurance with joy. 2. Steadfastness, not being moved by a change in outward circumstances. Number 3. Patience. The Jewish rejection of Christ opened a door for the gospel to go to the Gentiles with a heart after God. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 12 to 16. I'm reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 12. That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when we received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively works also in you that believe. Verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Verse 15, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. Verse 16, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. The Thessalonians were willing to go through the same trials and difficulties for following Christ that the Jews had already experienced in the persecution. They faced a similar opposition to the gospel because they confessed that Jesus is Lord and Savior to the world. To them it was a privilege to stand together with those who had paid a price for their faith. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 and 4. This is Matthew chapter 18, I'm reading verse 3. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The standard for salvation is no different for a Jew or Gentile to enter the kingdom of heaven. The Jews left behind were struggling because they had not become like little children. They were still using their minds. Paul had to explain that Jesus was born of a virgin and by faith became the high priest of all those who believe in the sinless life and are prepared to suffer for doing the will of God and experience God's provision. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 to 10. This is Hebrews chapter 5, I'm reading verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Verse 10. called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. God used those early Jewish believers scattered that gave the good confession as pioneers of the gospel. God was meeting their needs and confirming their faith. The double-minded Jewish converts found it hard to understand the spiritual life because they did not want to ask God everything, like little children. They also did not understand the long-suffering of the Lord included the salvation of their persecutors as well. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 to 16. This is 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'm reading verse 9. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. Verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Verse 11. These things command and teach. Verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. People need to hear what you're saying. They will not hear what you're saying because of the loudness of what you are. Your life speaks much louder than what you say. The words you speak make up about 30% of what you're communicating. The rest is made up by the way you say something or with your lifestyle. So get in shape spiritually. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8 says, "For physical training is of some value, useful for little, but godliness, spiritual training, is useful and of value in everything, in every way, for it holds promise for the present life and also for the life which is to come." Godliness is spiritual training according to the Amplified Bible that you need. If you're under pressure and suffering reproach for any reason, that is good. The testing times will deepen your foundation if you're asking God everything. Those who ask God everything have a pure faith because they just want to obey and will overcome. Those who forget to ask God still have another agenda in their mind, and they will lean to their own understanding instead. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. This is in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, I'm reading verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Verse 8. And it shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. If you want to know the reason you fail when there is more pressure and get overcome, it's because you're still wise in your own eyes. The one who gets the victory is the one who refuses to listen to his or her own ideas and obeys what he tells them to do instead. He sees the end from the beginning. God kept extending the grace to give the Jews in Jerusalem another chance to repent before AD 70 and the leveling of Jerusalem by the Romans. Both Peter and Paul shared some hard truths. Those left behind in Jerusalem were still learning elementary teachings based on Jesus' words and quotes from the Old Testament scriptures with their mind. The congregation in Jerusalem did not want to make the changes necessary to follow Christ perfectly. Jesus said in Luke 9, verses 23 to 25, this is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, I'm reading verse 23. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Verse 24. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." Verse 25. "What is a man's advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway?" There was a huge difference in spiritual maturity between those who stayed behind in Jerusalem, and those who were scattered by the persecution. Missionaries today sent out on a limited budget to a foreign country, having gone through difficulties financially on the front line, often come back to a church asleep spiritually. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 5 to 17. I'm reading Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, which is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of these things which are done of them in secret. Verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Whatever does make manifest is light. Verse 14. Whereof he says, Awake that thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The spreading of the gospel among the Gentiles was dependent upon the faith of those early believers being pure too. Converts were willing to endure as God's chosen vessels and depart from iniquity. And the Gentiles began to follow their example. Paul said to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honour and some to dishonour. Verse 21. If a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. The word purge in Strong's is number 1571, from some other words which means to cleanse thoroughly or purge out. The word vessel in Strong's is number 4632. It's of an uncertain affinity, meaning a vessel, implement, equipment or apparatus, literally or figuratively, specifically a wife contributing to the usefulness of the husband. Goods, sale, stuff, or vessel. The word sanctified in Strong's is number 37, for another word which means to make holy, that is, ceremonially purify or consecrate mentally, to venerate, hallow, or be holy. In the Amplified Version, Classic Edition, 2 Timothy 2:19 to 21 says, But the firm foundation of, laid by God, stands sure, unshaken, bearing this seal or inscription, The Lord knows those that are his, and let everyone that names himself by the name of the Lord give up all iniquity and stand aloof from it. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also utensils of wood and earthenware, and some for honourable and noble use, and some for menial and ignoble use. So whoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences, will then himself be a vessel set apart and useful for honourable and noble purposes, consecrated and profitable to the Master, fit and ready for any good work. The firm foundation God has already consecrated is for those who belong to him. You belong to him by making him Lord and letting him use you for whatever he wants to do. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious works, where you do not have to deny yourself daily and trust God. If you know that you've resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've shared about the good confession, and this was something that changed the believers in the beginning, changed their lives forever. And they didn't even realize what they were doing. They made a step of faith. They decided to follow Christ. Maybe they didn't have all the information. Maybe they didn't have all the facts. They didn't know what was going to happen next. But they opened their heart to God and decided to follow. Their lives were so radically changed by confessing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can do that too. As a believer, you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. But you need to also make him your Lord. He needs to be the one calling you. You accept that invitation and you choose to follow him no matter what. And you do whatever he tells you to do. Become like a little child, as I've said, because that's what Jesus said also. And as you do, the kingdom of God will become available to you fully. Father in heaven, I pray for anyone listening to this message that they will deny themselves today and take up their cross and do it daily, following you daily, knowing that each day there is evil everywhere and the days are getting worse and worse and worse. But Father, they will look to you and they will use these present trials and difficulties and challenges in this world, not for anything else, but to hear your voice and to say, Father, what do you want me to do in this situation? They will not think about themselves. And Father, I pray for them that they will be lights in this dark world full of sin. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening. I pray that the message has challenged you and that you have made some real changes in your life. If you want a summary of the scriptures used in today's message, you'll find that below in the video or either written out via a link on our website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. So please, please, please get in touch. Let us know. We'd love to hear those testimonies of following Christ. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.